Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. It's been a while. So let's kick this off. To start this off, I think the first thing I want to talk about is Valiant Central. They were talking about fairly recently, I think 2 episodes ago. They were talking about like timing of Valiant books, and I thought about it, and that's exactly how I feel. I think they mistype things, because they'll have like a series and then they have like a really good story plot or a new character introduced, and it gets you really pumped up and excited in this shared universe. And then you don't see him again until a year later, and by then you've lost some of the momentum. I really don't think that Valiant capitalizes on introducing something and then following through with it. They do have good stories, don't get me wrong. It's just I think they lose a lot of excitement by delaying stuff. That's happened to me many, many, many times. And they do it over and over again because it seems like they want to continuously publish 6 books and they rotate those 6 books. And like Rye, we haven't seen in a while, and I don't know when we're gonna get another Rye. I know we're getting another Archer and Armstrong book, or maybe it's just an Armstrong book, but it's by Fred Van Lente, which should get back some of the feel of the first volume, even though I think the second volume is very similar to the first. It's a little more on the humor side, but it's pretty ridiculous in the VEI too. If you look at all the different sects and the way they're introduced, I prefer the VH1 Archer and Armstrong. It's really dark, at least at the beginning. What Archer had to go through and his parents betraying him, much darker than what the way they were portrayed in VEI. But yeah, I just wanted to talk about that briefly. And then I had a question from my brother, Chris Ivy. So let me look that up real quick. He says, "We know you go through phases with your reading. What's the longest lasting phase you can remember?" I think longest lasting phase was DC, and you by listening to Weekly Reads, there was a time when Rebirth started where that's pretty much all I was reading, and then I switched moods. And now it's strongly Marvel, but because I think it's Marvel has an advantage because they have Marvel Unlimited. So when I wake up and I can't sleep at 2 a.m., I pop open the iPad, I go to Marvel Unlimited, and then it gets me in the mood for something, and that continues on through a lot of the current books. And I could do some of that reading with DC because what I do is I take those 3.99 books and I enter them into my iPad when I as part of my inventory. So I could read some of them, and I did do some of the late night reading with Titans recently and Teen Titans. I got caught up on both of the series, which I think Titans really improved for me personally the longer it went on, except for this last arc of the big reveal. I didn't care for. They took a long time character that I like that evolved into many different characters and kind of made her the villain, and I didn't care for that. But other than that, leading up to it, I thought it was pretty doggone good and pretty solid. I've been very interested in Titans, and then same thing with Teen Titans. It's got the feel better. Damian's opening up just a little bit more as Kid Flash was allowed back in. But yeah, so I have been taking advantage of some of the DC titles and reading them in the middle of the night because that seems to be pretty common where I sleep really good from like 10 to 2. That's like my quality sleep. And then I wake up because I either get anxiety or I'm dreaming something about work. and it keeps my mind racing. So I just get up and I try to read myself back to sleep. And that's kind of what it is. But talking moods, I like varying moods. Like even when I'm in Marvel Unlimited, I don't like to read like continuously something. So like I'm like alternating between titles right now. So I've been reading a lot of Steve Gerber, like Howard the Duck, Adventures into Fear with Man-Thing, Captain Marvel I started. What else have I read? Amazing Adventures with the Inhumans and Black Widow, Incredible Hulk, Marvel 2-in-1, several different titles, Invaders, Captain America Volume 1, Golden Age. I have a lot of that stuff, and you'll see that like when I read one of them, I'm like I don't jump into the other. I like rotate unless it's like part of a story, like the last two Incredible Hulks I read because it was part of a story with the leader, and I still want to read one more issue because the story hasn't finished. But I do alternate moods within the company too. Like I just switch. I like to switch, and like the last couple of weeks, I've been sort of in an image mood. I've been trying a lot of the Image number ones, seeing if I like it, assessing the situation early on. Like I read God Complex, and I read two issues in, and I was like, you know, this one isn't quite working for me. I think I know where they're going with it. It's like a church versus technical thing going on. And there's a police force, and they seem to be run by like Greek deities, except they're not really Greek deities. They call themselves Greek deities, but they're like, they look like humans with these masks over, you know, they'll be like Apollo, and he just looks like a guy in a business suit, and he wears this weird mask. And it's about a detective trying to find out the murder of an acolyte. And there's certain things that, like, are interesting to me about that, and the last reveal on issue two, I was like, huh, I wonder if I should keep with it, and I don't, I'm not, I'm on the fence with that one. But then I read Evolution, and I thought that was amazing. It was one of those stories that like time slices across three different characters they're introducing, and it's a world where people are evolving, and in some cases, it doesn't appear to be the benefit of humanity because they look very demonic. But like one kid is getting gills, and he's like cured his asthma and stuff, so it's like benefits some people. Really interesting though. There's a nun, and then there's a failed doctor who was kicked out of his practice but now goes under another name and is kind of doing like a clinic doctor type thing for the poor. And it features another female character whose family was into film. They had like a film archive. They might have been in the movie business. And they pass away and leave the films on to her, and she's deciding with her girlfriend what to do with these things. But that one's really caught my attention. Redlands started off, I didn't like it. With issue one, I mean, I liked it, but I was like, ah, do I really need to read this? And then as I read it, I got through issue four and I was hooked. So, in those cases, I really like that book. Like, that's one of my top reads now. What was the other one I read recently? Oh, Maestro. That one I wasn't planning on getting based on the image preview. And then it grew on me. I really, really liked it. So I've added that to my list. So I've been in an image mood lately. But at night, it's always pretty much Marvel, and I'll like try something different. I read Captain America. I've still been continuing on with my Clone Saga, like reading out of the omnibus that I have. Volume one, man, that thing's like over 1,000 pages long, and I'm probably around page 600. Really enjoying that. Like, it surprised the hell out of me, like why people don't like it, but especially the Web of Life and Web of Death story arc. And I am reading it. I mean, I am experiencing it very different from the people that read it monthly. Maybe I'd feel differently about it because the way they group it in the omnibus is they'll do the 4-issue arc of Spider-Man, Peter Parker, and then they'll do the 4-issue arc of Ben Reilly. And when you experienced it at the shop, it was alternating. So you'd go Ben Reilly, Peter, Ben Reilly, Peter, Ben Reilly, Peter, because like Peter was in Amazing Spider-Man and Spectacular, and then Ben Reilly was in Web of and Spider-Man, and they would alternate. But when they collected it, they finished the arc of Peter, and then they jump into their Ben Reilly, and then you read 4 issues of Ben Reilly, and then you alternate back into the other one. So that's been a really cool experience, is reading the Clone Saga, especially the Web of Death, which is the death of Dr. Octopus, and it really plants a lot of seeds for what they did in Superior Spider-Man. So I like. I really, really got into this story. I'm gonna go over two more questions. These ones were put in a long time ago, but I wrote them down so I wouldn't forget them. 'Cause I had plans to record a lot more, and then work got in the way. And I'll try to record whenever I can, but it's not as frequent as I'd like. Drew from Comics for Fun and Profit says, favorite non-Big Two publisher. That one's a tough one, but it's also an easy one. I would pick Valiant. They're just consistently good, and they're in the world. I like history building and building, so I don't like navigate to an Image title because it's like just a story. But when it's in a continuity, it's like it means something to me. And in my mind, it's always in continuity, like Flashpoint led to this, this led to that. It all works. My mind makes it work. Everything that happens in Marvel and DC. In Valiant, it's a little more tight. Even though it doesn't seem like there a lot of continuity there, because they're a lot of the arcs right now are like, okay, XO's XO, Ninjak's Ninjak. Very seldom do you see the characters cross over. The way it started is they would cross over a lot. But the stories are very tight, in my opinion, and they're very, very interesting. So if I had to cut down to like, you could get your books from one other publisher besides Marvel and DC, it would be Valiant. I wouldn't stop it. I own every single Valiant comic ever published. That doesn't mean I own every variant. I own every Valiant story comic ever published, and that goes into the Acclaim years and even the magazines that they publish. So that company means a lot to me. The history of the company means a lot to me. The stories mean a lot to me. That is who I'd pick. Next, I would probably go with Dynamite, because of their pulp. I just get a really good kick out of reading Shadow and Green Hornet and all those comics. Well, even some of their women, like Red Sonja. I love reading Red Sonja and some of their other titles. So, like, I just recently finished Dark Knight. I think it was Dark Knight, but it was really Dark Knights, but it wasn't with a K, so you don't think of Batman. It was Shadow, Green Hornet, Dark Knights. And it was like a fascinating book, because I love like World War II, World War I history, and this started in World War II pre-Pearl Harbor. And it was show Michael Ursland, who wrote it, did a lot of research about pre-America and pre-Pearl Harbor, when we haven't entered the war, but we're kind of siding with the war, and businesses are looking corrupt, and things just looked really weird, like gangster-wise and stuff like that. And Nazi might have had Nazis or Germans and Japanese and Italians maybe had spies in America. Like, I dig that stuff, and especially when it's set in the past, I really dig the pulp. So, yeah, I'd probably go with Dynamite being my second favorite publisher, and then probably Image being my third. But there, I collect almost everything, so I mean there's other favorites like Amigo and Zenoscope and Aftershock and 451, and I collect almost everything, but I would say those are my top three. Valiant would probably always be there in my top because of the history I have with the company and the history I have with the characters. That's kind of what I want to read. That's not to say that some of the Image stories are not better. In a lot of cases, I'll read an Image book, I say, oh, that's a 5 out of 5. But if you want to tell me what to continue with, I'd rather continue with the Valiant because it's a history. I want to keep reading it. So I hope that answers Drew's question. And I know what his is. His is probably Image by far. Him and his brothers are their probably favorite, not even non-big two, it's probably favorite publisher in general. Let's do one more question. Ronnie Barron of the Nerdy Legion podcast, Open Bar, Marvel. God, I can't even think of it. Marvel and what is it called? Unlimited? Not Unlimited. Ultimate Marvel podcast and Absolute DC podcast asks the question, which Spider-Man costume was your favorite? Which one did you not like? Spider-Man costume, my favorite is probably the Todd McFarlane, which is it's almost like how he started, classic, but it has a lot of intricate webbing inside of his midsection, and is my favorite, probably my favorite era of is the Michelinie McFarlane issues of Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man. So yeah, I would go with that it costume being my favorite. It's pretty much the classic when you stay classic. My least favorite, Captain Universe Spider-Man, probably. The Scarlet Spider looked a lot cooler. even though it's the Ben Reilly Spider-Man, looked a lot cooler in the 90s and 2000s than he does. Than he does now when you're reading him the old stuff and he has that like blue hang sweater hangover thing. I would have to go with Captain Universe Spider-Man probably being my least favorite. So that's the questions, and then we're going to jump into the weekly reads for January 16th, 2017 to January 22nd, 2017. I'm almost a lap myself. So we had a total of only 17 comics that week. Two IDW and 15 DC. So this is when I was still on the hardcore DC reading list. I may have still been doing DC weekly reads at this time. I got over this cough, but if I talk for a long period of time, the back of my throat gets dry. And it gets like a little itch and it makes me cough. It's weird. So, out of the, again, 5 out of 5 is I love it. 4 is I really like it. 3 is I like it. 2 is I did not like it. And 1 is I hated it. Starting with the 3 out of 5s, we have ROM number 5. It continues from ROM Revolution, which I didn't read at the time, so it's a little confusing. Where a group of other ROMs arrive, Space Knights type thing. But I've enjoyed ROM, but this one wasn't that great. It was hard to read because I didn't get all the backstory from the mini. I didn't buy the mini, even though I read, I think I read Revolution. No, I think I stood Revolution out. I read something else recently. Not a big fan of their continuity, the Hasbro shared universe. It's like, I don't want my Joes and Transformers and Mask and Rom and Action Man and to be in the same universe. They work fine in their own. It's just like when you throw something as big as Transformers in, it's really weird. It really is weird, in my opinion. Four out of fives. There were no five out of fives, so let's go into the four out of fives. We had Black Lightning number 12. This is volume one, and this was the issue that was not published. Well, you say, well, what do you mean not published? Why the hell did you read it? Well, the Black Lightning number 12 was put into a collected edition of the volume one Black Lightning. Tony Isabella and other people, and it was right at the implosion where they decided a lot of books got unpublished, like Fury of Firestorm. It was one through five. Well, there's an issue six, and the only way you can get it is if you buy the collected edition. This one was an unpublished issue where he fights a strange-looking Dr. Polaris. He just looks really weird, and it was an okay story. It wasn't the best. It was probably the weakest of all of the Black Lightning stories, but I'm glad I read it, and I'm glad I know it existed. We have Green Lanterns number 15. I really need to get caught up in that book. I'm really behind on it. But it's Jessica deals with more anxiety, and oh, she's always dealing with anxiety. It shows what it's like on a daily basis, like living her life. It was like a day in the life of Jessica. And I'll probably describe a lot more books like that because that's what the writer seems to want to do. Instead of having the character grow, he just cycles through that paradigm. And it's probably a reality of the situation because I know the writer has some sort of social disorder, and I don't know exactly what it is, but it's not something you kind of get over. But as a reader, seeing it over and over again, you kind of want to see character growth, and you don't see it. So it's tough, and they continue a lot of that when writers try to tackle on Justice League, and Jessica's back in the story as well. They retrend that same thing. We got Lost Boy, but I did really like it, so don't let me confuse you. I gave it a 4 out of 5. Lost Boys number 4. This is the believer dies fighting a vampire, and the sacrifice releases the prophecy, the vampire prophecy. And if you don't know who the believer is, well, if you watch Lost Boys, he's the sax player. He turns out to be a vampire killer that is helping the Frog Brothers and Sam in this particular storyline. Rom number 4 is right ahead of that when they infiltrate the military base with Rom as a prisoner, and both women that have been in this series are infected with a disease. So this was a really interesting arc. I've enjoyed it. We have Suicide Squad Most Wanted El Diablo and Amanda Waller number 6. This is Diablo is killed and comes back, makes a deal with the demon, and it has an Amanda Waller backstory. We have Trinity number 5. This is a Mongol backstory and describes more how Poison Ivy is involved because she's in that first arc, kind of running things. We have Justice League of America, the Ray. This was Ray's origin. He grows up in a dark and realizes he cannot leave, and meets up with a childhood friend, or realizes he can leave. He can leave the room. Very similar to the Rey series, which was Quesada, and I can't remember the writer, but it was a 4-issue arc. It led to his ongoing. Nightwing number 13. This is Mr. Nice, turns out to be a villain, and I like the Tad Nightwing, because it was very much a callback to the Knight NITE wing of the past, by Dixon and Devin Grayson, somewhere in that time frame. We have Cave Carson has a cybernetic eye, number 4. This is the team finds where his wife was, and Mole 2 attacks them in inner where they're kind of like an inner Earth, but the inner Earth creatures kill most of the new squad. That's the squad that was going after Cave Carson and crew, which is Wild Dog and his daughter. And they find the parents of his wife, which they're kind of like inner Earth aliens type thing. And he relays to them that she is dead. We got Justice League versus Suicide Squad number 5. This is Maxwell Lord gets Eclipso Diamond and possesses the league. Max loses control and Eclipso is released. We have Batman number 15. This is when Cat. Oh, I rated a 4 out of 5. That's a good thing for Tom King there. Catwoman leaves Batman, escapes from going to prison. This is because she was wanted for the murder of the orphanage, which turns out to be Holly that did it. Holly Robinson. Interesting, I don't remember that, but I put in the notes where Holly Robinson who cuts Batman's throat. She's also in the current storyline. I am caught up on Batman. We have Aquaman number 15. Aquaman defeats Black Manta. Black Manta blows up the ship that they're on, and a female assistant escapes America, and Atlantis is at peace again after visiting the president. We have Harlequin number 12. The Red Tool confronts the Joker. Harley rescues Joker, but then fucks with him and gets him beat up more. This arc is pretty good. I think it's like 3 or 4 issues, but the Joker, they lead you to believe it's the Joker. Well, it's not. It's like a wannabe Joker, but it's a really well-told story. Superman number 15, more of the multiverse Superman. We have Green Arrow number 15 as the top 4 out of 5, where Green Arrow's feeling guilty from those hurt by Merlin. A new villain attacks the prison as an ex-cop, and Red Arrow, his sister Emmy, is now in the book again as Red Arrow. She's also in Teen Titans recently. They tried to recruit her as a member, and she kind of laughed at their face after she was on an adventure with Damian. She got to like Damian, I think. I think that's it. And if you have questions, you know where to get a hold of me at mike@comicbooknoise.com or at Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch. You can go to the webpage at Geek Brunch Podcast and you'll see the episode thread. You can leave a comment or question there. You can go to Facebook. You could always IM me if you're my friend. Or you can go to the Geek Brunch page and click the like button and follow all the episode discussion there and ask questions there. So there's a lot of ways to get a hold of me. And I usually put a call out for questions so I could discuss random topics before I get into the weekly reads. And thank you all for leaving the questions. Thanks to Chris Ivy, Drew, Ronnie, and we'll see you back in hopefully a week or two. I'll talk to you later. Bye.